Hello, I am Lorelei Fanock.
And I'm Padilla Craft.
And this is the Need to Know News. Today, in our fourth episode, we will be talking about Biden's current choices for staffing, as well as Trump's recent,
Allegations.
let's call him that, and his outward opinions toward how things are going politically. So, Cordelia, if you would like to begin.
So, starting off with Biden's cabinet and his staffing choices, we have a lot of shock coming from some of the picks that he's made. And so, starting with his big four positions, which are the positions of the Secretary of State, Secretary of Justice, Secretary of Treasury, and the Secretary of Defense, those are considered the big four top positions in a cabinet. They are some of the most important positions. And two of them have already been chosen. The first of which being his Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, and then his Secretary of Treasury, Janet Yellen. And both of them are definitely good picks for their roles. I think people were a little disappointed to see Antony Blinken returning to the White House after he served in Obama's cabinet. And Janet Yellen, which was definitely a really good pick, and there were a lot of people excited about that because she is a part of a diverse community and she's a woman, which was definitely very exciting for a lot of feminists in the world and in America, obviously. And
Obviously.
so 23 positions there are in a cabinet, and eight of which are already picked out. And so moving on to some of those picks, we have his chief of staff, Ron Klain. And Ron Klain is an impressive person. He was not really at all very surprising as a pick. He was definitely a safe choice, I would say. And I think that people were a little disappointed with some of these picks like that, sort of less diverse than I think people would like.
Well, and
And
I think that's going to be a big thing that we're going to be seeing as we find out more and more about Biden's staffing choices, because throughout his campaign, one of his bigger promises was we were going to see a lot more diversity in the White House staff. And I think, unfortunately, we're to the point where diversity is being given a higher stance than qualifications and quality of work. Because I think that's what we're seeing from a lot of the public right now in response. I don't think that everyone is necessarily looking at the qualifications. They're looking at skin color and
ethnicity.
race, which is a little disappointing. But I think what he's got right now is looking pretty good.
I would agree.
There were some choices that I didn't entirely agree with, but none that I would outwardly speak against. You know, it's nothing horrible. It's not the end of the world. So.
I agree. And I think that a lot of people were expecting a lot more women of color and a lot more men of color, people that came from more diverse backgrounds, people who were even immigrants. And I think that a lot of people want those kinds of things because they haven't been seen in the past. And I think those communities really are only looking for that because they want to be heard and they're worried about not being observed and thought of when it comes to big decisions. So I think that's where a lot of their worries come from. And I completely agree that quality and qualifications definitely should come before skin color or even gender. And I think that a lot of people are confusing what they want with how much they want it.
And that's not to say that, you know, recognition in politics and government isn't important, because you can understand that people with different ethnicities will better understand their own ethnic cultures in America and what they need and what they're looking for. But, and while that's important, and while that is something that does need to be a more prominent factor, it can never come before qualification. Because if we don't have someone that's qualified for the job that they're doing, everything is going to fall apart.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I, all of that makes a lot of sense. And I think that a lot of people definitely need to hear that. But so anyways, we are moving on to some more positions. We have the special presidential for climate change, John Kerry. And I, that was very exciting to see for a lot of people. I think climate change is a serious issue. Global warming is a serious issue. And seeing someone intelligent and qualified fill that position is definitely a step in the right direction for the Green New Deal, which is Biden's plan for climate change. And I think a lot of people were really scared of that. And I think people in states like Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan, which we all know were battleground states, were definitely worried about that because they have a lot of coal production and they are a lot of the workforce for energy in this country. And they were definitely really worried about the Green New Deal because the Green New Deal has a plan to sort of start pulling away from coal. And I think that that'll be really expensive. And there were a lot of crazy numbers, crazy inaccurate numbers said about the Green New Deal, about how it would cost trillions of dollars. And I mean, that is blatantly not true. The Green New Deal is said to not really cost more than anywhere from a few billion dollars to $20 billion. And $20 billion is still a lot of money, but it is nowhere near a few trillion dollars.
Right, yeah, that's not to say that it isn't expensive, but yes, there has been a major exaggeration.
Yeah, there has definitely been a lot of lies spread about the Green New Deal. And I think that seeing John Kerry fill that position, we will definitely see a lot of positive reinforcement and a lot of good things happening for climate change and definitely the Green New Deal. And I think Biden made a right call picking him. And so the Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, they are a Latino person. And I think that people really were excited to see that, a Latino woman filling that position, which is the Secretary of Homeland Security is a high-ranking position. It is not one of the big four, but it is definitely a very important position dealing with the safety and security of every person in America, really, is that position. And it is important. Very important. And people were excited to see someone of color, someone of an ethnic background fill that position. And then we have the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Linda Thomas Greenfield. And Linda Thomas Greenfield is an educated person, as they all are. It was an exciting position, and the idea that she's a woman, and people definitely are glad to see more women filling important roles in politics. Like, they were excited for Kamala Harris to be chosen as the vice president and then to become the vice president-elect. So picking a woman for that position was also made a lot of people very happy. And the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan. And Jake Sullivan is a very safe choice. Jake Sullivan served in Obama's cabinet as the National Security Advisor, so there was really no shock there. And then the Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, he is an Indian man, and he is the son to immigrants, which was that diversity that people have really been looking for. He really filled out a huge role in that, bringing in ethnic background, and he speaks, I think, three languages. And I mean, really, he's an impressive man, and he was also another person who served in Obama's cabinet as the Surgeon General. He is a doctor. He went to Harvard and Yale, as me and Lorelai saw. And
yeah, he's got a very impressive background.
Yes. And he's an enriched person. And I think that a lot of people are happy to see him fill a role that is so important to medical studies in this time, especially with a pandemic going on. Seeing someone so educated fill a role that is medically prominent, definitely important.
It's comforting.
And then we have the Director of National Intelligence, Avril Haines. Again, a safe choice. No shock, really. That is definitely just kind of the baseline pick, I think, that a lot of people would have expected him to pick. And then the Budget Director, Neera Tanden. and the White House press secretary, Jennifer Psaki. And so 5 of the 8 positions that have been filled are women. And seriously, that was a step in the right direction, I think, for a lot of people that are looking for that diversity. And I think that Biden is definitely doing a good job of appeasing them and showing that he cares about these issues without so much as confusing his morals and, you know, sort of almost ruining like the way that he wants to work as a cabinet for diversity. But I think that there is still definitely a lot of push on him to pick more diverse people. And I hope that that does not push him further to make choices that might not be the smartest, just so he can get that sort of diverse look to his cabinet, which is not as important, as we said, to quality. And with 2 of the remaining big 4 positions to fill, the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of Justice, we really need to see, I think, some of that diversity that people have really been looking for. And I think that if those 2 positions come through and they show that he cares about diversity, I think that there will be a lot less push on him to make more diverse choices for his cabinet. But those are still extremely important positions, so he does have to make good choices when it comes to that.
Yeah, I agree entirely. And I feel like this is starting to become like my catchphrase for this podcast. At this point, we can only hope that things go the way they are supposed to.
Yeah, yeah. And do you have anything that you would like to say on any of his cabinet choices before we move on to your subject?
I mean, they look generally reasonable. Yeah. I think a lot of it depends very much on context. Depending on what happens throughout these next 4 years will very much alter how we see these people and how we feel about them, depending on the choices they make.
Yeah. And I feel like the cabinet that a president picks is often overlooked. And a lot of the decisions that are made in the presidential staff lie on the president's shoulders. And I mean, I think that that is something that really needs to be dealt with, because I think a staff needs to be held accountable for the decisions that it makes. And people as important as Antony Blinken and any of the other big 4 positions, they definitely need to be held accountable for the choices they make and not so much lie on Biden's shoulders. Because I think that that happened a lot with Trump, and a lot of decisions made by his cabinet resided on with him. And I think things definitely need to be sort of talked about. And I think people need to be more educated on the subject of a presidential cabinet, which is what we're trying to do here.
I agree. Accountability is going to have to be a really big thing, especially with just everything that's going on now.
Yeah. And I think that's all I have to say about his cabinet picks. So I think we can move right on to your topic.
All right. Trump has been very vocally active. And we are seeing now that he is not all bark and no bite, because he has actually taken action. He has done many of the things that he talked about doing. It may not be going in his favor, but he's still doing it. And I think, I for one am very surprised by this, just because you can never really trust if anyone politically or governmentally involved is going to do what they say that they're going to do. So it's just, these past couple months have been pretty wacky. Taking a quote from PBS's NewsHour, it says, Trump and his campaign's refusal to acknowledge that Joe Biden is the president-elect and to continue to file lawsuit after lawsuit comes down to 2 big things, politics and money. On the money side, they are raising thousands of dollars every day by sending out text messages and emails, messaging that they need to keep up the fight, that they want to have money for an election defense fund. That's from, I believe you say his name, Yarmulke Alkindor. That's from PBS News. It was written on November 11th, 2020. Trump, as we have seen throughout these past 4 years, is a very blatant, wildly stubborn person.
Yes, and he definitely has a lot of pride.
Oh yeah, very much so. And I would be lying if I said I wasn't at least a little bit surprised with how far he has been taking these trials and complaints.
And it surprises me to see that there are still a lot of people that are funding his efforts, even though so many of his claims have been disproven. And I'm shocked to see that.
Yeah,
there is such a widespread support from the public.
After Georgia and Michigan and Pennsylvania all having recounted, and those are like the big three deciding states that he really went after, it's interesting to see how many supporters are still fighting and donating and at this point rambling about Trump getting back into the White House.
Yeah.
Here's another quote from that same article, same author. President Trump is continuing to pressure Republicans all over the country, including in Georgia, to really publicly challenge the integrity of the election. Now, I think that this can be seen as both a good thing and a bad thing. I think that Trump's efforts and pressures can be seen as a bad thing because after a while, even his more lax supporters are going to get tired of hearing him talk and preach and just ramble on about the problems with this past election. And people even now are getting tired of it. And it's not looking good with him. Even if there was a chance of him being able to prove that there was election fraud, I don't think too many people would still be on his side, you know, with how persistent he has been.
And he's been pressuring a lot of Senate officials in states like Michigan and Pennsylvania to sort of discount their state's elections. And he's also been pressuring even the city of state officials. He's been pressuring them. I know that he's pressured officials in Detroit into discounting hundreds of thousands of votes to sort of silence the public, not even just Democrats, but also some of his own supporters, just to get rid of those votes that he has labeled fraudulent. And I think it's surprising to see that he is so desperate to get rid of these fraudulent votes, I say in quotations, that he is so desperate and he's going as far as to discount his own supporters.
I mean, for desperate measures, and this is definitely what I would call desperate measures.
Yeah, in his situation, they're definitely desperate. And I think that a lot of his actions speak to the investigation that is going in on him as a private citizen in New York, because the city of New York has been investigating him on some of his property taxes, and his property around the nation has been investigating him and has started to write a lawsuit against him. And I think that he's very nervous about that. Once he becomes a private citizen once again, what's going to happen with that lawsuit? So I think that a part of his desperation comes from that, and his fear of what would happen if he were to become a private citizen again.
Yeah, no, I agree. But also, I think that this is partially a good thing, because is it ever really a bad thing to show people the advantages or disadvantages of persistence in a free government? Because this is a free government. We have freedom of speech. We get to vote for our leaders. And persistence, whether it's for a good thing or a bad thing, and determination, I personally think are good to show. Because if used for the right purposes and the right reasons, they can be very inspiring to a nation. I mean, we've seen that all throughout American history. So despite the seeming ridiculousness of what Trump has been trying to scrounge of his presidency, I do believe that it is always good to showcase persistence and general strength and determination.
Yeah, I agree. I think that definitely is something good to show to the public and your own supporters, even if it doesn't look very hopeful for him.
Right. It's showing hope, if not desperation, in times that are not great for him and a lot of his supporters.
Yeah. And I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think I completely agree with what you said. It's definitely good to show those traits. And I think that moving forward, we'd hope to see those traits in our president-elect, because I think a lot of people are concerned about where his loyalties will lie once he is inaugurated as president, if he is inaugurated as president. But I think it is almost certain at this point of what's going to happen in January.
Yep, I agree. Well, this has been quite a time. I guess we will do this again, episode 5. That sound good?
That sounds good to me.
All right.